Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you get, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Hey guys, Bobby here. It's Sunday. And the reason we put this up, a couple things. One, to as a bit of a promo for a lot of our side podcasts that we do. But secondly, I know what it's like on a Sunday to be looking for something to listen to and I can't find anything because nobody puts up podcasts on Sundays. So it's the Sunday Sampler. It's, you know, decent sized clips from some of the podcasts here that one, maybe you're just entertained to hear. And two, maybe you want to go hear the full episode or go subscribe to it. 4 Things with Amy Brown. Amy was joined by Allie Fallon. She's an author, a public speaker, and a podcast host. They talk about dealing with shame and guilt and dating with curiosity, so you can hear that. On Get Real with Caroline Hobby, Caroline sat down with Ray Lynn. And on the Bobbycast, I talked with Hillary Scott from Lady A and the story of how the band was denied a record deal at one point, and it became very personal with Hillary and myself here. And it's all that in this, but there's so much here. Check it out. Let's start now with a conversation with Hillary Scott and I on the Sunday Sampler from the Bobbycast. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a couple kid questions.
Sure.
Because I didn't get married until I was almost 40. I didn't really have a serious girl. I didn't have that until, so I met my wife and it was like, oh, I didn't know that it was supposed to be, it's not always easy.
Right.
But I didn't know that it was supposed to be this easy when it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of like, it's like a click, like it just fits, right? And so I meet her and it's awesome. And we get married and, you know, she wants to have kids. I want to have kids eventually. But like I said, I didn't have a, I don't model like my parents. They weren't together. I didn't know my daddy left when I was 5 or 6. My mom, you know, passed away. So I'm scared to death to have kids. And then but what I wonder is, and I ask you because you're a little younger than I am, but how old is your oldest?
Isley's 10. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
10 already?
I know. Isley's 10, and then my twin girls will be 6 at the end of January.
Okay, so I feel like, if and when we have kids, when? Because she's not pregnant now. No articles, no headlines. I promise you, she's not pregnant right now. At least I don't think she is. It seems like it's a lot of work.
It is, but the most rewarding work.
But is it really, or is it because you've been told you have, not you have to say that, but that you're supposed to feel that way?
No, it is.
Because I'm very selfish.
Yeah.
Not about giving stuff, but about I've only ever been me and trying to first just survive as myself and then to create for myself and then for others. I feel like I'm going to have a kid and either A, be like my dad who left. And I don't think I'm going to do that, but like there's that part of me is there.
Yes.
Or I'm just going to be annoyed because I have to give up all my life and kids are just a lot of work. Like talk me, not down, but talk some
logic into me. I know you well enough to ask you this question that I know you're not going to lie to me.
No, I mean, well, it is. I mean, I think marriage is a really, in a way, if you are pursuing a healthy marriage, there's a part of you that has to die to yourself every day for your wife. There's the parts of me that leak out on my husband. If I don't keep myself in check, we suffer. So, you know, I think that's why marriage is such a beautiful kind of place to start, with learning how to put someone else before yourself. But here's the thing with children, they are from you and it is different. I mean, it is so, it's humbling. I mean, I was in an argument with my 5-year-old this morning, trying to get her dressed for school and having a moment. And I didn't say this out loud to her. I never would. But I was like, I don't know what to do in this moment with you. Like, I'm really struggling. Like, you're hearing one thing, I'm saying another. You're just totally tuning me out eventually. And it's frustrating. But oh my gosh, it is the most unbelievable gift. And I was just talking to my sister-in-law. She's visiting with her husband and my niece. And we were just having this conversation of how much more you, as you become a parent, every day is not just a combination of putting yourself, you know, like trying to be as selfless as possible, taking care of yourself, but also doing the work to be the best parent, to show up for your child. But it's also a continual surrender of control, because there are certain things that you can control. Like, you know, when you feed them, now if they eat it all, like there's all these different things that you can control, but then there's a whole lot that you just have to let go. And that is not to bring this back, but it is the compass of my life, my story. Without my faith, I would be the worst mother and wife, because I would need to just grasp everything. Like, their lives and mine depended on it. And so when there's a surrender and faith in the process, in the story, and a faith in God to that he's in control, and I don't have to be, it just helps me breathe and exhale.
I'm scared to death. Like, I'm scared to... And
you know what that says to me? It speaks to the unbelievable heart you have that you're taking it seriously. Like, there's something really healthy in fear.
Or that I know I'm going to screw it up. That's what I tell my wife. I was like, I'm afraid I'm going to mess this up so bad. Like, why? I struggle being a good husband at times because just gone. Yeah. Or I'm not, you know, we've been married 2 years, been together for 4 or so, whatever it is. Like, that to me was hard, because I've never had somebody that I cared as much about that I would actually let it affect me to where it was bothersome. Mm-hmm. That they weren't feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had never had that. I haven't now. And I've definitely learned. But I feel like I'm like 12 in that development. Career-wise, I'm like 110. I'm Methuselah, man. I mean, let's go. I got a long gray beard. I've been through it all. But like in that relationship part of my life,
yeah,
like that is still developing. Mm-hmm. I read books on it.
Yeah.
Which I never thought I would. I only want to read like sports books. But now I just read a book, Wired for Love, which is like a book about the brain, and I never thought I'd be that guy.
Yeah.
And I never think I'm going to read kids' books, but oh my God, I bet I do.
And you write them.
Oh, I do. I did write a kid's book. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK, EK, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things, little food for your soul, life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, laugh a little more things, tighten up your core things, said EK, you're kicking it with 4 things, with Amy Brown.
Hey, it's Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown, and here's what we talked about this week on my podcast. There's a quote that says, regret acknowledges that I made a mistake. Shame says, I am a mistake. And guilt is what others use to try to make us feel ashamed. That quote is from Bill Crawford, by the way. And I like that he says, regret acknowledges that I made a mistake. And I like that you just said that regret you know, the mistake, that's information. Gathering information from your regrets ultimately leads to more fun in life. And I'll use me dipping my toes into the dating world now as an example, because I thought I had worked through any and all shame that I felt around being divorced, but having to make that known to someone on a dating app and the fear that has popped into my mind about potential rejection because I've been divorced, the fear feelings are basically leading to shame feelings because I'm worried that I'm not good enough, that I'm a failure, that something is wrong with me. And I know that these things aren't true, so I'm glad I've caught these thoughts before they take up more permanent resonance in my mind. But if I listen to them, I would miss out on the fun of dating, of meeting new people, having new experiences. And then if I go into it knowing that I don't have to make decisions that I never will feel regret or shame for, then there's more room for fun. And even if there is regret, again, I will see it as information and it won't keep me locked up in my house for the rest of my life.
If you're going on a date through the lens of whatever happens, I need to not feel regret about this or need to not feel shame about this, then there's no space for play or fun or just getting to know someone or curiosity or any of that. It's like the only thing you can focus on is avoiding the shame. Whereas if you go on a date and you're just like, who knows what's going to happen, but I'm going to get to know this person. I'm going to be curious about them. I'm going to be curious about maybe what kind of chemistry may or may not be here. I may gather some funny stories and we'll see. Then there's just so much more space for possibility.
Okay. I like that you mentioned curiosity, because curiosity is where we have such an opportunity to grow and learn and find new relationships and opportunities and all the things. And you also mentioned, if I had known back then what I know now, I wouldn't have made that decision. Being able to say that to yourself and see that you learned from your regret with information instead of just living in it, just totally stuck in it, is so good.
And it teaches you to trust yourself. So you can go, wow, if I had known back then what I know now, I would have made a different choice. So now I'm equipped with that information to make a different choice next time.
Every time we practice saying that around any regret, we're exercising that muscle, and ultimately we'll get better at dealing with regret and shame. But there's also times that we may be dealing with guilt. You know, in that quote that I shared, the last part of it says, guilt is what others use to try to make us feel ashamed. You were sharing with me when, you know, we were just catching up as friends before we started recording, that you had some framework around dating, and we'll just stick with the dating example. Others listening might have other regret, shame, guilt categories in their life or circumstances that they're dealing with. But I think that your framework will apply to a lot of situations. So can you repeat what you told me earlier?
I'm not going to let myself get stuck in shame, because shame is not productive to help me learn what I need to learn about myself or move forward or create a relationship with someone. So I'm allowed to feel guilt. I'm allowed to feel regret. I'm allowed to say I would never do that again if I had it to do over again. I'm also allowed to feel like that was fun. I can feel lighthearted about it. Like, that was fun. Fun date, you know, not a match, not for me, moving on. And it doesn't have to be so serious. I think this is more than we need to get into, but just the way that I was raised around dating was so, I was raised in the I Kissed Dating Goodbye era. So it was just so serious and so like, you got to find your husband. And I feel like between my two marriages, I really needed a time to just go out, have fun, see what happens, play, be curious, like just kind of test the waters and see what unfolds from there. And it was really good for me. And I was explaining it to you, like, it's like it cleared the pipes of the toxic dynamic with me and my ex too. I needed to just see that I could create that with another person. Like, we could have a fun time together. We could have a silly dynamic. We could play.
You could be vulnerable.
Yeah, I could be vulnerable. I could connect with someone. There could be chemistry there. And it doesn't have to be my forever person, but there could be chemistry there and that could be fine.
You know, something that just popped in my head as I sit here thinking about having another person in my life in that manner is that they would see things that others don't really get to see. Like, they would see that I'm not really an adult or I have no idea what I'm doing. And maybe there's a lot of adults that feel this way, but I learned how to log into my bank account last year because Ben always handled our finances. I've talked about that multiple times. I'm a pro at it now, which feels good. But, you know, take the snowstorm that we just had in Nashville for an example. Like, I didn't know how to drive in that type of weather because Ben would always drive. And I don't understand proper tire pressure. Like, I know when my car tells me I need it, but I want to understand the numbers myself, like without a warning from my car. And those are definitely small examples that are just top of mind. But there's other things that are bigger, like insurance that I had to get late last year. I had no idea what I was doing, not a clue. And these are just things that embarrass me that at 42 years old, I don't know how to do them. So one of my goals for this year is just to learn more adult things, especially around my house. And then also to teach my kids these things. Like they'll learn as I learn. And I know that I can do it all because, you know, I was terrified of the bank account stuff. And I've totally got that down now.
And I feel like there's two ways you can approach those kinds of things too. You could approach it from, oh, I should know how to do this. Or you could approach it from, I just want to learn this so that I know it, so I can teach it to my kids and so I can take good care of myself. And it may be that for a period of time in your life, there's a steep learning curve because there were all these things that he took care of that now you have to learn how to do, like the bank account and the salting and the driving and all those things. But like you said, in a year from now, you'll look back and be like, oh, actually, it was a steep learning curve, but I learned all of that and now I can handle it. And also, there may be another partner in your life someday who you get to pass that stuff off to. Again, the stuff that's just really not fun for you that comes easily for them. So,
what up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do it live. We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers. What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It is Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live on the west side of Nashville with Baser, my wife. We do have a white picket fence at the apartment complex. Soon I'm going to have 2.5 kids. And yes, sadly, I will die of a heart attack when I'm 72 years old. Here's a clip from the last podcast.
I need you to explain to me and explain to everyone why you came to me and said, hey, just a heads up, Monday and Wednesday next week, I can't do a pod.
Because we're moving.
Yeah. You're moving, right?
Yeah, it's a process.
Right, right. But what do you hired what?
Moving company.
So what the hell are you doing?
Fluffing them. I don't know.
You're going to be doing absolutely nothing. Like literally, you're going to stand out of the way. They're going to move everything out of your apartment. They're going to put it on a truck. They're going to drive to your new house. They're going to unload it. Bay will say, oh, that goes there. That goes in that room. That goes in that room.
We have stickers.
So you have stickers that say what?
What rooms, and if something's fragile.
Okay. So it says front room, back room, kitchen, living room.
Butler's quarters.
Dining room, basement, garage.
Patio system.
Right? You have all that written on there for them.
Do you want me to get into the weeds? You want to learn how the sausage is made?
No, this is, I've moved. So I'm trying to understand, you hired movers. What are you going to be doing?
So we got the move for free, so we have to document it all and Instagram it and post it and all that.
Yeah. So your wife will have a camera and she can film for the 30 minutes you're not there.
Right, but our agreement was that we both are posting, so it's kind of like dual camera action, doing a lot.
So she could send you a video, or you could take a video when you got home. When you got home, you could take a different video, because you're not going to take the same video as her.
But also, they consider this a massive move for us. In their company, they said they rarely send three movers. They're sending three. They said this is like a big budget move. So I just don't want to put it all on my wife.
No. There is no big budget about it. You live in a freaking apartment, bro. Coacher, you live in an apartment. It is going to take them 30 minutes to pack up your stuff.
Dude, I was on the phone call. We had a conference call, and he goes, this is a big move for us.
No. It's a big move because you're going to put it on social media. They tell every client it's a big move. When it's a 10-bedroom house, that's a big move. A 2-bedroom small-ass apartment is not a big move.
Mansion to mansion is big, right?
So you're going to document it on Monday. What are you going to be doing on Wednesday?
No, the moving process starts on Saturday.
So they're coming on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Well, okay.
They're coming one day. But
so what are you making? So you're missing two pods because they're coming for one day.
Dude, but there's so much stuff we've got.
No, there is nothing. Right, you can't have that much stuff.
Hold on. We don't. It's not the stuff. It's not about the stuff. Ray, I need receipts. I need timelines. What I'm telling you is it's the hooking up of the cable, the internet, the trash, the water. There's the appraiser. There's Baser's dad. There's dealing with the video photography that we're getting paid for. There's managing companies that we're explaining to them where we all need all of our stuff. There's a lot more.
No, you are just saying words right now.
But wait, do you think that my wife should do it all? Because she's also working.
It's going to be 1 hour.
No, they consider the move. They said it's like, because it's moving cross town.
No.
So it's a 2-hour process to load to the truck. The truck drives for an hour. That's 3. And then another 2 hours. That's a 5-hour major, massive move across town.
And during that 5 hours, you're going to be doing nothing. What I'm saying is, if you are not there for 1 hour while we do a pod, it's going to make no damn difference to them. So are they coming on Monday or Wednesday to your house?
Wednesday to my house.
So Monday, what is Monday? What is Monday?
Right, we have to go to the house to fluff it.
So you can't go after you get off the pod? What do you have to fluff?
I shouldn't even be working. This is a move. Our whole life is transitioning. My wife has to have seamless with the internet, so I probably have to deal with the internet people. So she can't miss a beat with that. If you really
what do you mean she can't handle the internet people when they come to the house? Hey, come on in. Hook it up. Thanks.
Right, but it's not just the internet
You're not going to hook it up for them. You're just going to open the door, and they're going to do the work.
there's some other guy. There's the contract. There's the loan officer. There's the signing of the documents. There's the
You?
Dude, you don't even.
I do know how to move. But you understand, I have moved.
Right.
But, in my life.
Right.
And I've never missed 4 days of work for a move.
Dude, I would take off 2 weeks so that it could just be so relaxed and I could help out my wife.
But your wife's not going to do anything either.
She's doing a lot. She's following them in the car. Her parents are
going to
be
there. Oh, so they don't get lost? She's like waving a flag out the window like, hey,
dude,
hey.
We got furniture coming from Gar's place. If you really want to get in the weeds, we got a bunch of free furniture. I mean, there's stuff coming from all directions. So it's not just the moving company. She's also orchestrating another move from another side of town coming to our house. And then we're taking video footage. Then we've got, hey, where do you want your internet? There's a lot of moving parts for one person who I think she's only taking a couple hours off of work because she just started at this position. So she doesn't really have any time off. And the internet has to be seamless.
Yes, but when is the internet company coming?
Monday or Wednesday, either day of or a couple of days before.
So you don't even know? Well, you haven't made the appointment? You haven't called them?
I don't know the exact time the moving place comes. I know they're coming on Wednesday. So, I mean, as you can see, there's a lot of loose ends, just like the convention. But we pulled it off, Ray.
So, guys, I just want you to know, this is like Ray in the parking. This is how he lives his life. He is worried about stuff that is not happening until Wednesday, so he has to leave work immediately on Monday because he's stressed out because the moving guys are coming. But the moving guys are going to do all the work.
Dude, I've cleared out this weekend. Justin wants to go to some simulator golf. And I said, bro, we're moving. And Justin said, I thought you were moving on Wednesday. And I said, no, it's moving season. We're moving the whole week. It might be the whole month, dude. We're moving. You know how many times I've told people that so it was our buddy Bill's birthday. Sorry, I can't. We're moving. It was another lady, a really nice girl, invited us to a church service or something, a worship thing. Hey, I'd really like you guys to come. Sorry, we're moving. Dude, we've been moving for 2 months now. This is one of the biggest moves in our American history. This will be talked about in kids' schooling for years
to come.
No, literally,
it's going to take they're going to bring the small bus. the Black Tie Moving is going to bring the smallest trailer they have.
No, it's going to be the opposite. They're going to bring a big one and say, you guys have a TV and a dresser.
And that's it. And they're going to be like, wait, and you took off 2 days of podcast to do this crap? Like, you were here 2 days early to make sure this is what we had to move?
Dude, I should have taken. I mean, if I didn't have a father, no, there's a contractor.
How stressed out are you about the move?
Not stressed out at all. It's the easiest thing in my life. Bay goes,
Wait.
Bay's done a lot. She's done a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And she said, how's it going to feel to just walk up to a house with a couple suitcases and move in? I'm like, you're right. I did work on weekends and stuff, but she's saying a lot of the organizing, and she's been dealing with the loan company, which apparently is a bear. She dealt with, you're supposed to shop around. She dealt with three or four loan companies for 2 months, and we ended up getting a $300 better deal. So it was worth it. A month.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's a pretty damn good deal right there.
No, that's great.
I know.
So what does that have to do with you missing pods and moving?
Dude, I would have missed, for this building of the house, I would have missed 6 months of work. But I had to work because we can't take off from the big show. But if I had a normal job, I would have saved up, and I would have missed work for 6 months. So I could have been there every day. So, I mean, I haven't been there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
Because you wouldn't do anything.
I would. There was always stuff he could run and get screws, run and get nails. Hey, vacuum this up, clean up.
So you would take off 6 months of work for them to say, go get screws and go get nails?
Dude, this is like a dream home. People don't ever get to do this in their lifetime. I get the opportunity to do it. It has come together beautifully. I wish I was involved more than about 5%.
So you feel bad.
I feel very guilty. So me taking one pod off is the least that I can do. Dude, I swear to God, if I worked at Grande Communications, I would have saved
up
money.
Well, then you'd have your cable in already.
Hey y'all, it's Caroline Hobby from Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and here is a clip from this week's episode.
I wasn't jaded by this industry. I was just doing what I love because I love to do it. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the who liked me, who didn't. I was just doing what was right in front of me, going through the doors that were opening for me. And if a door would be closed, I'd be like, I really will say, as a when I was like 18, 19, 20, like I would just let stuff roll. I'm like, oh, if it's closed, it's not meant to be. Like I was, that's how I was. I was bulletproof. And I lost a little bit of that.
Because you get into this system where you think it has to be a certain way.
It has to be a certain way. And it, like you said, it can't. It doesn't have to. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to walk. Every win is a win. Every failure is a closed door. And it's not a failure. It's just a chapter.
It's God saying, not this way.
Just to focus and bet on the Lord and just see what happens. And doing that, you know, my first independent record had over 100 million streams. Like, I've gotten to release a children's book. I've gotten to just do things outside of the box, like do my first clothing collab. I've always wanted to do stuff in fashion.
Buddy Loves. And it's with Buddy so Loves. You.
So cute. And it's got to be like a boot line. Like I've just gotten to do so many things. I've gotten to release music. I love music that I'm passionate about. Songs. Like I've gotten to travel the world with my child, like bring her on the road. I was told that that wouldn't be a thing. No, my daughter goes with me on the bus. She's the best kid ever on the bus. Like it's just everything that I've wanted for my life and more has happened. And I now, like, I was like, all right, well, this is fun. Like, betting on God is cool. Like, why haven't we been doing this our whole life? And it's just like, I think you can't, I think it's great to have goals, but I think it's always like, how much are you going to get done Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4? Well, who cares? I want to focus on what's right in front of me. What's the next great song I can put out? What's the next move? Mm. And that's honestly where I've been in the last year and a half, 2 years, and just trusting in God's plan and focusing on my family, focusing on my husband, getting my mind right. I think it's taking me a while to be like spiritually and mentally sound. It's like processing just the jump start of my career, jump start of life, family, all that stuff. Like it's hard, you know, but I feel like I'm now in this like season of I'm okay if I'm not okay, and I'm okay if it all fizzled out tomorrow, and I'm okay if it all keeps on going. You know, it's just,
yes.
And I think that that's where the best music is made too, and I'm really excited about this next project.
I feel you on the letting go and letting God so hard. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like, and I'm just feel like I'm just not getting it.
Yeah.
To 40. I've had seasons where I've done that, and it's been
we
the
all
best
go
seasons
through
of
seasons.
My life. And then I take control back, and then I try to like, you know, hold it really tight.
Have you seen that meme? It's like the guy behind the door, and he said, "When you let God have control, but you're just checking on him, you're like, hey, I'm peeping in. I'm just checking. Are you gonna come in for this? I don't
God,
know if you are.
Test. Are you there?
Test.
Yeah.
I know. I'm gonna let you have control, but I'm still gonna be a control freak.
I'm gonna let you have control, God. Okay.
Yeah, you can't do that. You just gotta relax.
But
dude.
Finally, though, God will knock for me at least, and I've realized this through a lot of podcast interviews and like talking to you. It's like finally, I feel like God will take you to the mat enough.
Yeah.
So when you finally are on that mat and you're looking up and you're like, okay, I tap out. Like I'm out. I don't have any more moves. Like I am out of moves. I literally have played them all.
Yeah.
I don't have one more. I don't have any clue what to do next. So then it's like, basically I feel like for the first time in my life, I woke up in 2024 this year and I was like, my year is lighthearted. It's freedom. And it's freedom because I'm letting God direct it. I've been trying to plan it. I've been upset that things haven't gone a certain way, you know, had heartbreak, had disappointments. And
it's okay to grieve those things. Like it's okay to want things for your life. You know, I think the hardest part about growing up in a Christian home, and I'm very thankful, I love Jesus more than anything, is I got so obsessed with, like, first of all, I do believe in you're supposed to be thankful. Like, I thank you, Jesus, for this and staying in a thankful heart. But I think I stayed so much in a place of, I can't be upset about that because I got to be grateful that I never, like, fully, like, grieved certain things that actually, like, I should have grieved. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because I never wanted to let myself grieve because I felt I can't grieve because I don't want God to think that I'm not thankful. Like, and I'm, cause I am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for my daughter. But no, it's okay to
feel it
and be sad, but you got to get back up.
Well, you can know like, that whatever. God is still in control and guiding you, but you're just in a really low.
You can still be sad. And I think that's the thing is I kind of pushed down those feelings for a lot of years of like, oh, I can't be upset about that because God did this or God. And it's good to stay in that mindset because I do believe that you should. One of the biggest things that my mother-in-law said to me, oh my God, I love my mother-in-law. But she said, anytime you're feeling super woe is me, 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 and you're low about yourself, she said, go do something for somebody else.
Mm.
Go take somebody some food. Go take somebody lunch that you know needs it. And it always got me out of a funk, and I love that. But also, you do have to grieve some things, and I think that that's okay. And
well, necessary.
And then when you do, like, properly go through things, you can, when you do have another win or something like that, you're good, and then you're excited, you know?
Well, it just makes you such a more, the highs are great, but you don't cling for the high, you don't cling for the low, you know it's all gonna come and go.
Oh my God, I always say I'm just jaded enough. I say that now, like, and the moments like, oh my God, I didn't feel like, great girl, you know, I'm loving it.
Good, you know, we're all back on the road, you know, putting out the music. How you feel about that?
Awesome. And then when it's low, I'm like, cool, been here before. You know what I mean? I think it makes you bulletproof. And
it
that's
does.
Because
you know
say,
it can come.
That's why I would never change. Like, because I was like, if I looked back, I think I would maybe just, if I had to change something, which I won't, but if I did, let's say I did, I would have started music later in life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, professionally.
Mm.
But then I think about all the cool shit that I've gotten to do as a, like, 18-year-old, like, playing the Grand Ole Opry. Like, I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
There's things that, like, that's what I'm saying. I would never change my journey, but if I did, like, that would be what it was. It is, but, like, that's the thing is you never, but I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't go through what I've gone through.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Mike D, and this week on Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, I did a deep dive into public domain. I explained exactly what it is, characters that have entered and will enter the public domain soon, and I gave my top five ideas of characters I would use in movies if I didn't have to pay for the rights to them. Here are a couple of those examples, but be sure to check out this full episode of Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. At number four on my list of public domain movies, in its simplest terms, the public domain refers to the content, ideas, or creative works that are not protected by intellectual property laws like copyright or patent. So this is different from, say, Nike put out something 95 years ago. You can't just start making Nike stuff. But when it comes to art, you can, whether it be movies, music, or TV ideas. After 95 years, anybody can use them, share them, modify them freely without the need to request permission or request payment. The group of characters are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which were introduced in the first TMNT comic book back in 1984, created by artists Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, who financed this entire comic with a tax refund and a family loan, and have created an entire empire of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from TV shows, action figures, movies, and have brought it all the way back around to the comic and are putting out some really great graphic novels right now. This one will be a while, but TMNT will enter into the public domain in 2080. And my idea for a TMNT movie would be a sci-fi action movie. Think about Blade Runner 2049 meets the Batman with Robert Pattinson. And I would call the movie TMNT 2084. So if it comes out in 2080, it will be set in the not so distant future. And that is what I envision. So go with me on this journey. Picture a dystopian, not so distant future in New York City. It's cold, it's dark, but also an orange haze that hangs over the city. And at night, we have these neon bright lights that take over the scenes, and emerging from the shadows, from underground beneath the sewer, are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. And on screen, they are recognizable as those beloved TMNT characters, but their personalities are so different and darker. They're still teenagers, but man, they have seen some stuff, because the future is not a happy place. The criminals are more hardened, sadistic, evil. Shredder is a madman taking over New York City, and they must stop him. This also is going to be a very expensive movie. I'm thinking TMNT movie with a $275 million budget. I want it to feel epic. I want it to feel grand. I want it to feel unlike anything you've ever seen from a TMNT movie. No comedy, just straight brutal action. People getting decapitated by the turtles. That is what I want to see. And sadly, I just don't think we'll ever get there in our lifetime, because they are so much associated with childhood memories, and they're wholesome, and they teach lessons, and they're colorful and bright. But the way I see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is entirely different, because that first movie that came out in the 90s had that tone. It didn't really feel like a kid's movie, but over time they have become more and more cartoonish. So man, I would love for this movie to happen. 2080 is the first year it could happen. My movie would be called TMNT 2084. Let's go. Number four. At number three, we're going over into the animated side. The movie is Toy Story, which originally came out back in 1995.
It was the first computer animated feature film released by Pixar and distributed by Walt Disney. Since the movie came out in 1995, my version could come out in 2091. Oh man, that's a long time away. But my movie would be titled Toy Story, Playtime's Over, and it is an animated horror movie. Think about it as that original movie, but in a parallel universe where Woody actually kills Buzz. In Toy Story, he tries to just knock Buzz off so Andy can't find him. And instead of taking Buzz with him to go to Pizza Planet, he takes Woody with him. But in my version, Woody actually kills him, ices him, takes him out, makes him sleep with the fishes, thinks he gets away with it. But then old Slink starts to become a little bit suspicious of Woody, and he tries to crack the case. And at the same time, Woody is trying to tie up loose ends. Other toys start getting killed because they're all going to rat on Woody. They start to question themselves. Should we get Andy involved? Should we reveal to him that we actually come alive? And the entire thing ends with Woody dying by being thrown into a garbage disposal. The toys kill him after he admits to killing Buzz. An animated horror movie. That is what I want to see. Toy Story Playtime's Over. Come to you from Movie Mike's Productions in 2091. That's at number 3.
Okay, Sunday Sampler. There you go. New episodes out weekly. From The Sore Losers to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. Get Real with Caroline Hobby. Amy's Four Things and so much more. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you guys Monday.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.